Dear listeners, there are many arguments between believers and unbelievers about the existence of God. Disagreements can be uncharitable. At times, the two sides can fall into insults and accusing each other of ignorance. Extremely heated debates can even resort to threats or violence. In some places, expressing different views is forbidden. Special laws ban some convictions with threats of severe punishment, especially in regard to religious beliefs. We all, of course, have personal convictions. We commit to things that shape our lives. Some of us hold and express our convictions more strongly than others. Our convictions do indeed impact our outlook on life and the decisions we make. So, they are reflected in our daily behavior. They express themselves sometimes unconsciously in the way we conduct ourselves and in our moral choices and in how we view past, present, and future events. Convictions influence our associations and social relationships, including in families, circles of friends, colleagues, and acquaintances. Dear listeners, in one way or another, we all commit ourselves to and adore people or things we consider important for our lives. Commitments to persons or things are important for all people. Many devote themselves to certain sports. Some are strongly loyal to a sports team or to a sports club. Some love money so irrationally, perhaps to the extent of fearing to spend it even on themselves. The list goes on and on of things which control people's lives. Dear listeners, in the Bible, convictions are not to be forced on others. For example, Joshua, who led the Israelites after Moses, while desiring to see the people he ruled commit themselves to his convictions, he said to them, "Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In the same way, the prophet Micah spoke of the future expansion of the believing community who follow the promised Messiah. He wrote, "All the peoples walk each in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever." Dear listeners, a very formidable reason for acknowledging the existence of God is presented in the Bible. In the first chapter of the New Testament, Apostolic letter to the Romans, we are told that overwhelming knowledge of God's existence does not necessarily convince all people. We read, "What can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made." So, according to the Bible, the evidence for the existence of a supreme creator being is abundantly clear to humanity. We have just read that what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. The knowledge of God is abundantly clear in creation. This is what the 19th Psalm asserts. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge." We are told clear facts that God's invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. Why then do so many deny God's existence? The apostolic teaching is equally as clear about the reason. It says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools." Dear listeners, yes, there is also a formidable reason for ignoring the knowledge God has provided about His existence. The reason is deeply rooted in our own human nature. The original good human nature, in the likeness and image of our Creator, has been corrupted. Its ability to exercise good and reliable reasoning is twisted. Our humanity is endowed with ability to be creative and inventive with the material that the Creator provided for us. The Creator intends for us to make good use of His creation. Instead, human rebellion against the good Creator made our thinking futile and our hearts foolish and darkened. The Bible alerts us to the reason for people's denial of God's existence. It speaks of humanity's ungodliness and unrighteousness. It says that because of this, people, by their unrighteousness, suppress the truth. Our divinely given ability to think and to do what is right is twisted into unrighteousness. This is our inherited corrupted Adamic nature. We are the corrupted descendants of corrupted first Adam. This is also behind the very existence of religion. Again, the first chapter of Romans says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." The fact is that only the true Creator God Himself could do something about it. Our twisted reasoning and knowledge needed to be repaired. Our humanity needed to be recreated again through the new Adam. He restores to us the Creator's own image and likeness. The new Adam gives those that cling to Him a new ability to think the Creator's thoughts after Him and to do the good God had originally endowed our humanity to do. The Creator Himself needed to provide the clearest knowledge of Himself and a way for humanity to transfer from the old, corrupted Adamic nature to a new one. The first chapter of the New Testament letter to the Hebrews speaks of this gospel truth about the wonderfully clear divine presence with us in Christ. It says, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power." This is the meaning of Emmanuel, God with us. The epistle goes on to assure us of the Creator's redeeming work through Christ. It says, after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Hallelujah.